ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 15, text number 29.
Yata varta dayo hyartha yogasyartham na bibhrati anarthaya bhaveyusma पूर्तमिष्टं तथा सतः।
Translation purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, as professional activities or business profits cannot help one in spiritual advancement, but are a source of material entanglement, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies cannot help anyone who is not a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. If one becomes very rich through his professional activities, through trade or through agriculture, this does not mean that he is spiritually advanced. To be spiritually advanced is different from being materially rich. Although the purpose of life is to become spiritually rich, unfortunate men, misguided as they are always engaged in trying to become materially rich. Such material engagements, however, do not help one in the actual fulfillment of the human mission. On the contrary, material engagements lead one to be attracted to many unnecessary necessities, which are accompanied by the risk that one may be born in a degraded condition. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 14.18,
Urdvam gacchanti sattvastha madhye tishthanti rajasaha jaghanya guna vrittistha adho gacchanti tamasaha.
Those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planets. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planets. And those in the mode of ignorance go down to the hellish worlds. Especially in this Kali Yuga, material advancement means degradation and attraction to many unwanted necessities that create a low mentality. Therefore, jaganya guna vrittistha, since people are contaminated by the lower qualities, they will lead their next lives either as animals or in other degraded forms of life. Making a show of religion without Krishna consciousness may make one popular in the estimation of unintelligent men. But factually, such a materialistic display of spiritual advancement does not help one at all. It will not prevent one from missing the goal of life. As professional activities or business profits cannot help one in spiritual advancement, but are a source of material entanglement, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies cannot help anyone who is not a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Today's class was supposed to be given by His Grace Dayaram Prabhu. Dayaram Prabhu is here? Dayaram Prabhu. So Dayaram Prabhu very forcibly ordered me to speak the class today. So on his order, I'll try to blabber whatever comes out of my immaturity. But I would request all of you to bear with me. And I'm sorry to deprive you of the wonderful association of Dayaram Prabhu. As Prabhupada says here, the purport, we always find in this world people endeavoring to become materially rich and not at all interested in becoming spiritually rich. This is not a very uncommon news for us. Because when we go to distribute books, we always see people saying, I am not interested. Probably you might hear from a dozen people like this. So once when I went to distribute book, one boy said, I am not interested. So I asked him, are you not interested in becoming happy? He said, certainly not in the way you are happy. So then I showed him the cover of Bhagavad Gita and told him, see, Arjuna is also happy, but he didn't have to shave his head. He could be happy as a family man. In fact, Krishna gave this Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna so that people like you will not escape from reading it. So then he took the book after that. So we often find people uninterested in spiritual life, and it is a very arduous task of a devotee to preach to an uninterested materialistic person to make him into a devotee. And that was also done by Prahlad Maharaj to his school friends, schoolmates. You know, Prahlad Maharaj, during the interval period, would spend time with his friends preaching about Krishna consciousness and about the importance of human life. So, one of the days when he was speaking, he was telling his friends that, my dear friends, spiritual life, Krishna consciousness has to be taken up at the age of 5. And this is the right age that we all should take up. And human body is very rare. And we should take full advantage of this body. And as usual, the friends were asking him, but Prahlad, is this not the age to enjoy life? And there are so many things for us to enjoy. The world is open out there for us to enjoy. How do you say that we should take to spiritual life at this time? So Prahlad told them, Sukham Indriyakam Daitya Deha Yogena Dehinam Sarvatra Labhyate Daivat Yatha Dukkam Ayatnataha. My dear friends, the happiness that you are talking about in this world will very easily come to anyone as the suffering comes in our lives. Because everything is Deha Yogena Dehinam, he said. Everything is predestined. What happiness you will get, it's all predestined. You don't have to endeavor to become happy. And he said, you will see, everyone is awarded a body and a mind, and the psychophysical nature, and the body that we have is all awarded to us. And everyone is also awarded how much rich one will be, how much poor one will be, what kind of face cut one will have. He said, you didn't choose your face cut. You didn't choose your parents. You didn't choose your riches. You didn't choose these things. Because these are all awarded. And he said, they will come automatically. As the age passes, whatever has to come to you will come automatically. And he said, it is useless to endeavor for it. Prabhupada gives an even more simpler example. He says, just like you buy a particular model car. And once you are in that model car, then you are into it, inside it, and you cannot, you know, make it function like any other model car. Maruti will go like Maruti, Benz will go like Benz. And the Luna will be Luna only. Isn't it? Now if you got a Luna type of body, to be try to become like a Benz would be a futile endeavor. No matter how much I may honk the horn, how much I may try to press the clutch and go very fast, very, very fast, the speed will not increase. Because the body has a limitation. Similarly, this is the meaning of Deha Yogena Dehinam. Everyone is destined with a particular type of body, which comes along with all the facilities awarded in that particular body. Like a horse cannot be proud of running fast. Nor does a dog feel bad that I cannot run fast like a horse. Because every body is awarded with certain facilities. So Prahlad said, it's very, you know, every body comes with a stored pleasure. Whatever pleasure you have to get, you will get. Just as pain comes to you. And then he told them that do not endeavor materially, endeavor spiritually. He even told them, do you know Lord Vishnu is seated in your heart? He said, he is called as Atmanishwari. Atmanishwari means he is the master of the soul. And he is also Priyortha. He said, Priya means he is very dear to the soul. Not only the Lord is dear to the soul, the Lord is also, he said, He is also the well-wisher, Suhridam, for every soul. Three reasons he said why you should worship Vishnu. The soul is, the Lord is the master of the soul. The soul is very dear to Lord. And the Lord is also very dear to the soul. So you should surrender to Vishnu. That was his argument. And then his friends said, but then friends thought actually, but why not work hard and enjoy life? Because we can make our lives materially very comfortable. Everyone in this world is working for making life more comfortable. Like one company has a slogan, let's make things better. Actually, Shastra says, let us make people better, not things better. Because just like, for example, the weighing machine, if you see, in those days, weighing machine used to be like a big suitcase. Then the weighing machine became smaller. Nowadays, many of the corporate people carry a weighing machine with them. They're working in a company. There is a portable weighing machine. Although the weighing machine has become more and more sleek and small, people's bodies are increasing larger and larger in size. You can see that. So instead of making the machines better, we have to make people better. So we have to teach people how to live simple lives. So, Prahlad, they were asking Prahlad, why not be happy? Why not work hard and earn and enjoy? Why should we surrender to Vishnu? And then they, indirectly they were asking, what is the use of surrendering to Vishnu? Why not work hard, earn and enjoy life yourself? So Prahlad compared between working for Vishnu and working for mammon, working for the material world. He told them, tat prayaso na kartavyo yata ayur vyayah param na tata vindate kshemam mukunda charanam bhujam. He said, my dear friends, na tata, he said, tat prayaso, that type of material endeavor, na kartavyo, one should not do, the materialistic endeavor. You know why? He said, it only swallows your valuable time. It also takes a lot of your energy. And at the end, what do you get? Nothing. Like if you see a newborn child, you will always see it comes like this. His hands are folded. And the dead man's body always goes like this. That means while coming, we grab the things of the world. While going, we leave them behind and go. So he said, tat prayaso na kartavyo, he said, do not endeavor for these materialistic things. Because they will, you will not be able to hold on to them. And you don't carry anything with you, nor can you enjoy them fully. This reminds me of what Nachiketas was asking Yama. When Yama, actually Nachiketas was brought to the Yamaloka, and 3 days he had to wait. And Yama told him that I'll give you 3 boons because I made you wait. And you were very patient. So Yama asked first and second boon, very simple boons. He asked first boon about how to go to heaven. I heard that heaven is a place which is free from thirst and sorrow. I would like to ascend to heaven. And Yama taught him the yajna, how to do. Nachiketa yajna. So then secondly, he also said, I want to return back to my father. And when I return to him, my father shouldn't be angry with me, he said. And Yama said, granted. And third boon, Nachiketas asked him, my dear Yama, you are the Lord of Death. I think you are the best teacher to answer this question. And he asked him, where do the souls go after death or after liberation? Where do they go? I heard that there is something called as liberation, which is beyond hell and heaven. What is that region? Where from having gone, which one never returns back to this world. And Yama said, Nachiketas, this question has been a mystery even for the demigods. What to speak of ordinary men? Please save me from this question. Ask me for another question, he said. And Nachiketas said, my dear sir, who can be a better teacher than you in this subject? And you are Lord of Death. I have no other inclination to ask you. I want to answer only to this question. And Yama said, in order to distract him, Yama told him, I'll give you vast lands so that you can rule for a long, long period of time. And I'll give you hundreds of sons and daughters and you can enjoy your life with them all. I'll give you a fair maiden, I'll give you chariots, I'll give you horses, elephants, gold, silver, whatever you may ask. In fact, Nachiketas, I'll give you whatever you want in this world, however hard it may be to obtain. I'll give you all of them to you. And you can take them all and rule the earth as long as you wish. And then he said, but please relieve me from this one boon which you have asked me now. And Nachiketas thought for a moment. And then he told Yama, my dear sir, all these pleasures that you promised me will come to pass away. Not only that, they also weaken the power of the senses. They make one very frail over a period of time, weak. And who will be able to enjoy these pleasures for all the time to come? As one gets old, one has no more ability to enjoy the pleasures of the world. And he said, with you in sight, who can enjoy the pleasures of the world? Because constantly there is a threat that one may die. And he said, I don't want any of these boons. I only want to know what is beyond birth and death. And then seeing the resolve of Nachiketas, Yama became very inspired. And that is the time Yama spoke. He told him, I appreciate your determination. And then he said, there is a path of flickering pleasure and there is a path of unending bliss. Those who choose the path of flickering pleasure find no end in this world. No matter they may wander in millions of births and deaths again and again, they find no end. They continue playing the game of going from one body to another, but they never attain any victory. But those who wake up to the truth given in the scriptures and start adopting the path of unending bliss, they will attain the spiritual world. And then that is the time Yamaraj told about that example of chariot and the five horses representing five senses, and the chariot is the body and the intelligence is the driver, soul is the passenger. That example comes there. Atma Rathinam, that was that at the time. So, and he taught him how to utilize one's intelligence and subdue the impure mind and the senses which are running in different directions, and how to guide it towards spiritual life. That he taught him. And that was the most valuable knowledge Nachiketas got. In the same manner, you find Prahlad comparing material life and spiritual life. There Nachiketas rejected material life and he adopted spiritual life. In the modern times, his own as Gaur Govind Maharaj was speaking in one of the lectures, he was telling, when he went to America, when he went to the West, he was traveling around, he said, people, their lives are such that they are materially comfortable. But materially comfortable life saps our enthusiasm for spiritual life if one is really not serious about spiritual life. The nature of material objects is that it makes one feel that there is no problem. Like somebody having a cancer, he has a choice. Either every day you take 1 rupee, painkiller. Or you take every day 1,000 rupees medicine for next 2 years. So what do you think any average patient would prefer? Because he thinks every day I have to spend 1,000 rupees for the medicine. Better I take one painkiller and keep quiet. Because it at least makes me imagine that there is no suffering. So the painkiller suppresses the pain, but it doesn't actually cure the disease. A person dies off. Very soon the death comes and strikes one day. And the person, it is too late for him to realize it. So the nature of material comforts is that it makes us think that everything is all right. There is no problem. But the material world will very soon expose the harsh realities in the form of dwindling body, old age, disease and death. That is why Prahlad told them, Tato yate takushalaha kshemaya bhavamashritaha shariram paurusham yavan na vipadyeta pushkalam. He told them, my dear friends, you have two things with you. One is kushalaha, means we have a very sharp discrimination by which you can distinguish between right and wrong, which animals do not have. Animals act by instinct. But you can act according to discrimination. And you can understand the ultimate goal of life in human body. And he also told them, na vipadyeta pushkalam, your body is not dwindling due to old age now. You are young now. In this young body, pushkalam, he said, pushkalam means stout and strong body. a stout and strong body with which one can engage in multifarious activities. And he said, combine this intelligence with your stout and strong body, how wonderful things you can do for God. And you can perfect your life. And he said, Kshemaya Bhavam Ashitaha, take shelter of Lord Vishnu for attaining the ultimate goal of life. And don't waste your life in this kind of materialistic activities. So, very wonderfully Prahlad preaches to his friends. He is saying that Mukunda Charanambujam, if you take shelter of Vishnu, you will attain spiritual world. And then you will be happy forever. That happiness which you are hankering for, that will come to you if you return back to spiritual world. And it will be with you forever. Nobody can take it away from you. But the happiness you are getting in this world is temporary. It is short-lived. It will be taken away. And not only that, it eventually leads to more suffering. Srila Prabhupada, what he used to do, he knew that bulky Shastric books were of no interest to an average Indian, even in his times. If an Indian would see Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam and such books in those days, also Indians are becoming more and more materialistic. Prabhupada says, I was traveling for about the last 20 years, I have observed in my extensive travels within India. I read it in Leelamrit. He says that more and more men are smoking cigarettes. And more women are traveling alone. This goes to show that India is becoming westernized more and more. And then he's also talking about the importance of re-spiritualization of India. Where he is talking about how the British people came and introduced tea, they introduced tobacco. Because of which, even in Prabhupada's times, there were beef shops in India. There were liquor shops and tea shops. And people were going to cinema houses and watching TV and all these things. He says that, like in this purport, there is a mention about the unnecessities. Man, when man becomes materialistic, then he increases the unnecessities. Just like, you know, even for brushing the teeth, they have an electric toothbrush. You stand like this, there is a thing hanging from the top. It is brushing your teeth. They can't even brush their teeth with their hands. Yeah, this is unnecessity. And then because you are not moving the hand, then later on you have to go to a doctor for some, you know, some operation of the hand or some exercises for the hand separately. So, there are many unnecessities like that. Like for example, in one purport, Prabhupada writes about how in the modern times there are so many types of cosmetics that are being used. There are so many types of skin cosmetics, and nail polish and lipsticks and everything. People spend so much of money for that. But on one hand, one has to spend money for them. On the other hand, the illusion is also increased simultaneously, both. Because on one hand, you spend money for purchasing those unnecessities. On the other hand, we increase the illusion by which we remain more stuck up in the material world for a very long period of time. And there are innumerable unnecessities like that, which are, like in that song we sing, Divasa Sharira Saje. Miche nida vashe gelore rati Divasa Sharira Saje. So in the night one spends all his time in sleeping, and in the daytime one decorates the perishing body, and increases the illusion more and more. And when the illusion is increased, then one is inspired to continue material life more and more. When Prabhupada went to Hawaii, at that time, devotees were facing problem. Because some devotees would go for Harinam and only some of them would come back, others won't return at all. And the news went to Prabhupada that devotees are falling down. So Prabhupada went to Hawaii. For more than a week he stayed. And that's where he spoke the most famous lecture where he said, sense gratification and Krishna consciousness go yell together, he spoke. So early morning when Prabhupada went for a walk, he saw there were some boys who were surfing in the ocean. And Prabhupada asked, what are they doing? Devotee said, Prabhupada, they are surfing. Are they suffering? Yes. No, they are surfing, Prabhupada. And he came back and spoke a Bhagavatam class. Today morning I saw the sufferers. And then devotees were trying to tell Prabhupada, no, Prabhupada, they are called surfers, Prabhupada, surfers. I know, you call them surfers, I call them sufferers. He said, it's not that Prabhupada didn't know how to pronounce. But he deliberately called them as sufferers. Why? The living entity has a tendency to always find some unique, innovative way to enjoy separate from Krishna. Always. Like, you know, one devotee has become a Hare Krishna devotee now. But he was telling me, before he became a Hare Krishna devotee, he used to go in a plane in the top, and then from there he would jump off with a parachute. But he would not open the parachute. And he would come down some distance, and after that he would open the parachute. So there is a risk of dying in such kind of, you know, adventures. But people are ready to do, because the living entity is ready to go to any extent, even up to the point of death, to enjoy separate from Krishna. That kind of mentality is there. So, he is saying the stout and strong body should not be misused for such purposes. Rala is saying, how can it be wasted? So, Prabhupada was watching India becoming more and more materialistic, more and more westernized. And the result, there was a magazine called Amrit Bazaar. One Amrit Bazaar editor, he wrote an article. What Prabhupada would do, he would take the newspaper and take one small section of the newspaper in order to create an interest in people. And then he would give a commentary from a Vedic perspective. That's what he would do. So he took an article from there, where the author was telling that we are seeing that India has now obtained freedom. That doesn't mean our problems have ended. In fact, today, he said in that article, we have the same problems, almost of the same degree, as what we had under the foreign rule. We find that one problem goes, and quickly another problem comes. And Prabhupada took that one sentence. One problem goes, and another problem comes. And then Prabhupada commented on that, saying that how there cannot be any permanent happiness unless people are under divine leadership, godly leadership. The leader should follow the scriptures, shastras, otherwise they cannot make people happy. And then Prabhupada also was, Prabhupada writes, put Krishna consciousness first, and all other concerns will follow. They can be attended very easily. Just like putting a one before a string of zeros. And crisis can be solved only if leadership is Krishna conscious. And then Prabhupada wrote, man, due to neglect of the Supreme Lord, is now being punished by Maya. And the Maya is also under the control of Krishna. So, Prabhupada felt it is emergency that we should reach out to people who are going very, heading towards sense gratification, materialistic life, material comfort and everything in a very fast way, to slow them down and make them take an about turn and come to Krishna, return back to Krishna safely. So there is always materialistic tendency in the material world. That is why Prahlada's preaching is very valuable. And we get a lot of tips from Prahlad how to preach to people who are like hedonistic and who are completely oriented towards material living, who argue for material life. We find that. So here in this purport, Prabhupada is saying that if one becomes very rich, such material engagements, however, do not help one in actual fulfillment of human mission. On the contrary, material engagements lead one to be attracted to many unnecessary necessities, which are accompanied by the risk that one may be born in a degraded condition. The nature of material life is, it is not that it just makes us comfortable. One problem in becoming comfortable is we also tend to conveniently forget God. And we become comfortable. Another problem in materialistic living is, it gives an artificial sense of pride, thinking that I don't need God. God is for suffering people. I am happy. I have everything. Actually, we are finding, when I was coming the other day here, I saw a lot of people go for a walk in the early morning. When we were coming in a taxi, we saw. So thanks to some of the yoga teachers who have at least made people body conscious. Thanks to them. Now we can make them spiritual conscious. Because people were not even bodily conscious before. Why? They were killing their own body before. In terms of smoking and drinking and adapting to self-destructive habits. But now at least people are waking up now to think that if we have to even live 60, 70, 80 years in this world, we should do some yogasanas, we should go for a walk. the interest has come in preserving the health in the body, at least. Eventually, that self-interest, which is oriented towards the material body, has to be directed towards the soul, which is the real swartha, or the real interest. So in the modern time, many yoga teachers are teaching people how to keep the body healthy, but it is incomplete if the knowledge of the soul is not taught to people. So the first part of the Prabhupada says something even more interesting than this. He says, if one becomes very rich through his professional activities, through trade or through agriculture, this does not mean that he is spiritually advanced. To be spiritually advanced is different from being materially rich. And then towards the end of the purport he says, making a show of religion without Krishna consciousness may make one popular in the estimation of unintelligent men, but factually such a materialistic display of spiritual advancement does not help one at all. It will not prevent one from missing the goal of life. Somehow or other, sometimes people who are materialistic but very rich, materially very rich, they also assume themselves to be qualified enough to speak on spiritual subject matters. Sometimes, Srila Prabhupada says, somebody may be a politician having influence over the people of his country. That doesn't make him eligible to speak on spiritual subject matters. In India, you'll find there had been presidents of India before who wrote commentary to Bhagavad Gita. And there had been also politicians who have spoken on Bhagavad Gita. Being a politician is not a qualification for speaking on Bhagavad Gita. In the same manner, sometimes rich people, well-to-do people, they are not in a mood to hear from a saintly person. When sadhus go to them, instead of hearing from sadhus, they give them lectures in reply. So sadhus have to, of course, if the sadhu is a money monger or something, then they may probably hear some good lecture from him and take some donation and give ashirvad and go away. That's why Prabhupada says in India, many sadhus, meeting a sadhu means people think, they expect the sadhu to behave very politely with them, speak some sweet words, and nod their head and give a smile, and accept a donation and go. That's all. It's called as Ashirvad Baba. So Ashirvad Baba hears lectures, doesn't give lecture. But Prabhupada says, association with the sadhu means three things. Knowledge transmission, spiritual discussion, heart transformation. Then there is association. Otherwise there is no association. And there should be some hearing based on the scriptures. And that is knowledge transmission. We are hearing from the scriptures. Then there is a spiritual discussion on why this is like this, why this is like that, why is it true? Understanding. Then there is heart transformation. Prabhupada met Bhaktisan Saraswati. Of course, Prabhupada performed that leela of meeting Bhaktisan Saraswati and asking him, India is under a foreign subjugation now. How will people take Krishna consciousness seriously? And his guru immediately, very confidently spoke to him. He said, Krishna consciousness cannot wait. It is only lack of Krishna consciousness in this world because of which people are suffering. Prabhupada says, Jallianwala Bagh massacre had happened. And all over India, there were also Hindu-Muslim riots and all. And the British people's policies were also very much influencing the people. And everywhere there were pockets of people having revolutions. And in such a time, he says, Bhaktisan Saraswati was sitting within those four walls of Ulta Danga. And there he was speaking with full confidence that the only problem in this world is lack of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says his conviction was contagious. And Prabhupada says when he was leaving, I accepted him as my spiritual master in my heart. This is heart transformation in a few moments. So, guru, real guru, sadhu means one has to give knowledge to transform the hearts of people. So, on the other hand, we find sometimes such a polite nod or accepting whatever the donor may say. Sometimes a person may allow a rich man to speak. And that kind of pride comes from what? Aristocracy or from position. That we find in Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam, being Paramahamsa Samhita, it also cleanses the fine dust
That may not be even observable by a common man. Bhagavatam first of all exposes it and then helps us to clean it. A practical example can be given from the narration of the pastime of Rahuguna and Jadabharata. Rahuguna was a king who was lifted up in a palanquin and carried by his palanquin carriers. When they were going in the forest, at one time they needed some help. They saw Jadabharata at a distance. They saw this fellow is a stout and strong fellow, like a body of a bull. So they immediately brought him and forced him to lift the palanquin. Jadabharata, being a pure devotee, he was unaffected. He carried the palanquin and was going ahead. But the other people, carriers of palanquin, were Shudras, and they were not sensitive to the ants which were passing through the road. They just stamped on the ants and they were walking by. While Jadabharata was very carefully lifting his leg this way and that way, not to hurt the ants. And that was causing a kind of jolt in the palanquin. Initially, Rahuguna became angry. Because there is always a pride that comes from the position. So angrily he shouted, "Why is the palanquin jolting like this? Take care to lift it properly." He gave warning. And immediately the servants became upright. Because sometimes in those days the kings would behead people who would be disobedient. So they became upright. In order to clarify, they said, "My dear king, we are lifting the palanquin properly, but the new man who has come, he is not cooperating with us, because of which we are finding difficulty in lifting it. And then we will try our best to walk properly," they said. And they are walking. And after some time, again the same problem. The king became wild this time. Of course, when we become angry, we respond in different ways. Sometimes we use sarcasm. Sometimes we flare up and we blow out. So the king was using sarcasm. He said, he peeped out of the palanquin and saw the Jadabharata was carrying. He said, "Oh, my dear brother, it seems that your body is very frail and old. And you are carrying this palanquin for a very long distance, so you are sweating and suffering very much. Are the other carriers not cooperating with you, that you are not able to carry it properly?" He asked him. So he wanted to teach through sarcasm. And Jadabharata didn't speak a word. He continued to carry. And again there was jolt. The palanquin was moving up and down. This time the king really got wild. He said, he shouted at Jadabharata, "You rascal," he shouted. "Don't you know I am your master? And if you are not going to obey me, I will punish you as Yamaraj punishes sinful persons. And that way you will learn a good lesson, and I will bring you to the correct path by such punishment to you." So after Jadabharata heard this type of behavior from Rahuguna, he felt sympathy upon Rahuguna. And in order to teach him a good lesson, Jadabharata spoke up. He said, "You are calling me that I am I am thin or frail and everything. Those who know the Atma Tattva, they do not call the soul thin or fat. And because I don't identify with my body, neither your words of chastisement nor my body carrying your palanquin is suffering at all. I am not suffering at all. So your endeavor to punish me is like beating a dead horse. It's of no use," he told him. "And besides that, let me tell you, you are calling yourself a master and myself a servant. Remember this, your attitude is incorrect," he said. "Because our positions may reverse in the next life. And no one should be proud of being put in the position of a master." He said, "In this world, who is the master? Because everyone in this world is connected with three modes of material nature. And that's how everyone is acting. So everyone is a servant of material nature. No one is a master." Like that, Jadabharata replied him. And hearing these words of enlightenment, Rahuguna's ahankara in his heart slackened. And immediately he jumped off from the palanquin, fell on the ground, flat on the ground, catching the feet of Jadabharata. And he sought forgiveness and he said, "Oh, my dear great soul, who are you? Why are you wandering in this forest like this, like a madman? Why have you come here? I think you have come here just to instruct me. And he said, I'm not. And then he was speaking many things. Naham vishanke sura raja vajran na tarkshad shulat na yamasya dandat. He said, I don't want to be Brahma kula avamanat. I don't want to offend you. You are a Brahmana, you are an enlightened soul. And I have offended you, I am very sorry. He sought forgiveness and everything. But then the story doesn't end there. Because Rahuguna was a king, and he also was learned. You see, somebody may be learned, but at the same time, by the position one may hold, that learning can become tainted with a material dust. Like that's what happened with Rahuguna. He was a king, he was also learned. At the same time, because he was identifying with his position as a king. And he also thought, this Jadabharata is supposed to be my servant. And he also was very proud of his learning. And he had the guts, he had the courage to chastise Jadabharata because of the bodily consciousness. How do we understand this point? That comes in the subsequent discussion. The Rahuguna told him, my dear great sage, although you spoke very nicely, I still have some questions to ask you, he said. He said, you are saying that your body and mind are unaffected despite my chastisement. But I have always seen that the material conditions of this world somehow seem to affect the soul, he said. And he gave an example. In a pot, if you put milk and rice and you boil the pot in a fire, then naturally you will find the milk and rice, it starts boiling, isn't it, inside. Similarly, the material conditions of the world affect our body, and they also affect our mind. Like we all have experience, when we get sickness, we also sometimes become mood out. You know, we cannot do many things on a sick day. We don't feel very comfortable. So he said that, you know, the material conditions do affect the soul. It does affect the mind. Mind gets disturbed for people in this world. How do you say you are unaffected? I cannot believe it. And secondly, he said, you are telling me that I am not master, I am only servant, and that I should not try to correct you. But let me tell you, he said, as a king, is it not my duty to correct the citizens whoever go on the wrong path? If the king doesn't correct the citizens, then who is going to correct them? And even if you say, my correction to you is like beating a dead horse or like treating a madman, still, he said, according to Shastra, even if a person is mischievous and mad, you punish a person, at least he gets the reaction of his past sins, and his past sins are eradicated. In that sense, my correcting you and punishing you is actually ultimately for your good or for the citizen's good. In that sense, a king's correcting a citizen is appropriate. So how do you answer these things, he asked. So it is explained in Bhagavatam that if what Jadabharata was earlier speaking was like from Mayavad point of view or from an impersonal point of view, he was telling that, you know, neither you are a master nor am I a servant, you know, I am not my body, I am just a soul. That's all he spoke before. It was philosophy of negation first. And what Rahuguna spoke was true from a practical point of view. What he said was correct. It's the duty of the king to correct. And also the soul, which identifies with the body and mind, also gets affected. That is true in one sense. But Jadabharata, being a very, very exalted soul, could understand that Rahuguna is speaking these things not from realization, but from his bodily attachment to the position as a king. I'll give a simple example for this, practical life example, which will make this point very clear. Dhanavir Swami Maharaj says this example. Once a new brahmachari who joined the temple, he went for book distribution. So in those days, Keshav Prabhu was the temple president of LA, you know. He had sent one book distribution leader. So the leader was telling this young brahmachari that you can distribute books, but when you distribute to women, you just distribute books and push off immediately. Don't spend time with them. And the young brahmachari said, yes. After some time, the leader was watching who is distributing the books where. And he saw this young brahmachari was standing with a girl, college-going girl. And he was giving her a book and he was talking. So he waited for some time. It became 5 minutes. It became 10 minutes. And then he went to him and called from behind, "Prabhu, please come." And he said, I'm coming, Prabhuji. He said. And then he went on again, another 10 more minutes. Then the leader became disturbed. 20 minutes, what is he talking? Then he again called that devotee. And then the devotee became a little upset. "Prabhuji, I'm preaching, Prabhuji." He said, "Yes, I know you are preaching. But now you come. It's getting late." Then he took 5 more minutes. After that, the girl went away. Then the leader was telling the brahmachari that, "Prabhu, it's not proper for you. I have warned you before you all went for book distribution." So that Prabhuji was telling that brahmachari, "Prabhuji, you know, here is a conditioned soul who is suffering in the material world, in want of Krishna. And what's wrong if you preach to a person and deliver the person? I am giving Prabhupada books and I am preaching. Do you know what sincere questions she was asking? And when I gave the answers, she said, there is no one as intelligent as you have seen in this whole world. You are the most intelligent person I have seen. You know." And then I gave second answer, third answer. She said, "Now, you are like my spiritual master," she said. "You know, whatever questions I have, you have answers practically for every question of mine." She was getting so satisfied and I was also becoming very satisfied that I can give nice answers and everything. So, such a nice preaching was happening and you unnecessarily put a stumbling block in my preaching. I was telling. Then, the Prabhuji said, "Prabhu, you are thinking that what you are talking is correct from a very philosophical point of view. You are preaching very nicely. She is a conditioned soul suffering in want of Krishna, but you cannot see her like that. You see her like a woman, beautiful woman. You think of you as a man. And her association is pleasing to your mind. And because of that, you want to pamper your mind with her association. That's why you want to prolong your... Why don't you talk to another boy like this? If a boy is asking a question, you say, go and ask somebody else. Why are you so much interested in preaching to her?" So, the senior devotee showed him his contamination. In the same manner, Raghuna is talking as if he's very learned. That's why Jadabharata told him, "My dear king, you are talking like a very learned man, as if you know the ultimate truth. But I can tell you, there is an inherent flaw in your understanding." He told him. And then he gave him an example. He told him, "Our contaminated mind is like an independent, uncontrolled elephant." Have you seen in Guruvayur in South India, you find this elephants. When they're walking in the road, you will see that the trunk will never keep quiet. Always the trunk will be moving like this. It will go to the shop, take the banana, put it in the mouth, take some coconut and beat it. It will keep moving very, very restlessly like this, in all the directions. So he said, your mind is like an independent, uncontrolled mind, uncontrolled elephant, which wants to increase its jurisdiction using the senses by doing pious and impious activities and becoming more and more maddened. He said, how? For example, I may do a pious activity like a sacrifice. Now, Raghuna is doing sacrifice. That sacrifice also is for increasing one's false pride. Like he says, what is that? Yakshye dasyami modishye iti ajnana vimohitaha. That Krishna says that. Adyo abhijanavanasmi konyosi sadrishomaya. I am surrounded by aristocratic friends and relatives. And I will do yajna. I will give charity. In this way, people will think I am a great soul. I am a great man. So his giving charity is also to increase only his false pride. Like I heard in Vrindavan, somebody donated a fan to somebody. And they said, you have to put my name, that the grandfather said. And then they said, okay, I'll put your name. So they put the name in the fan. They wrote the name. And the grandson came. I heard my grandfather gave a fan some 30 years ago. Is that fan still there? They said, yeah, it is there. But where is his name? They switched off the fan and they showed him. See, here is the name. He said, very good. And then they again put on. But now nobody can see my grandfather's name, he asked. And they said, yeah, when it is running, they can't see. So better keep it stop only. He said, so that everyone can keep watching my grandfather's name. He said, you know, then what's the purpose of the fan? If you take it in donation and write people's name there and everyone has to watch it, then you can't use it. You can imagine how much people become attached to their charity, that people give. So, in this way, he said, you may do pious activity or we may do an impious activity. Right now, Raghuna is doing an impious activity by dominating and controlling Jadabharata. He's doing it. So, the mind increases its jurisdiction through the sense, the contaminated mind increases its jurisdiction through the senses by doing pious and impious activities, thereby satisfying the lust, anger and greed. And the result of which is sad asad yoni janmasu. He said, birth after birth, he takes different bodies. And what is the root cause of all this trouble? The contaminated mind. He said, and what is it like? He said, your contaminated mind is like when a wick is burned improperly, it becomes blackish and it leaves a soot in the hurricane lamp. But when a wick is burnt properly, it glows and shines with its full brilliance. He said, when the contamination in the mind is removed, it is like the wick burning properly. He said, that is original Krishna consciousness. He said, when one becomes originally Krishna conscious, one understands that I am nobody's master. Krishna is my master. My spiritual master is my master. All the acharyas are the masters. And I am their servant. In that consciousness, it's like the wick glowing brilliantly, very powerfully. There is no contamination. And he said, now you are claiming that you are doing the duty of a king towards the citizens. You are saying that you are doing the duty of a king towards the citizens. But let me tell you, you are not doing your duty. Rather, you are imposing your false ego on others, he said. So he was telling two things, he said. The king who acts as a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If a king is acting like that, he deserves to be carried in a palanquin, free of cost, without any charge. But as soon as a king stops his upward connection to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and considers himself as God, then he has to pay for the people who are carrying the palanquin. That's the difference between people carrying a sadhu in a palanquin and people carrying the common people in a palanquin, right? Otherwise, why they take charge? One time in a village, a small boy saw a sadhu was being carried in a very big palanquin kind of thing, and the people were all throwing flowers and doing jayakar to him. And when the sadhu was brought down, he was kept on a platform, he gave a big lecture and all. And the boy went to the platform and asked the sadhu, sir, I have a question. Your life seems to be very wonderful. People are lifting you up and people are showering flowers. People are giving you nice foods. So what it takes to become a sadhu like you? He asked. And the sadhu said, all you need to do is to follow me. That's all. So the boy also followed him. And the boy decided that I am going to become sadhu now. He left everything and went with the sadhu. So when the sadhu was leaving the village, they had a big palanquin again. They put the sadhu along with that boy also was put there. Because he is a follower of sadhu. They put him also there. He was very happy. They showered flowers. They carried him on the palanquin. They gave nice garlands and everything. He came up to the end of the village. And then the sadhu got down and told the people, now I am going ahead on my onward journey. And the people begged him, please come again to our village. And then sadhu started walking barefoot in the forest. And the boy also followed him. He said, oh, this forest path is so difficult, walking on these pebbles and stones and all these things. Nobody carries you all through? He asked him. The sadhu said, no, the sadhu should be ready for anything, whatever God sends. In fact, the sadhu told him, by the way, I warn you that you should not carry any food with you if you want to be my follower. And the boy nodded the head, but secretly he carried some 8 or 10 chapatis, big chapatis. He carried in a bag, although he nodded the head. So when they went into the depth of the forest, about evening, till 4 o'clock, they didn't eat anything. And the boy asked the sadhu, you didn't eat anything till morning. And sadhu said, Krishna has not sent me anything. And then, are you not hungry? And he said, yes, I am hungry, but Krishna knows when I am supposed to be fed, he will feed me. And the boy said, come, let us eat chapatis I have brought with me. He opened the bag. I took out and kept. He gave him 4 and he took 4. And the sadhu silently ate. And the boy said, thank God I carried this with me. Because in forest, nobody would have given us anything to eat. And then he asked, am I not more prudent than you, that I carried the chapati? So the sadhu said, you cannot travel with me anymore. He said, really? Why? Because sadhu said, you did not depend on Krishna. I told you should not carry anything, but still you carried. And the boy said, okay, if you say so, then you should not have eaten this. Then I would have eaten and you should not have eaten. For you, Krishna will give, he said. Sadhu said, yes, Krishna gave it through you. He said, just now he gave it through you. He said. So, if a saintly person or a king acts as a perfect representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he deserves to be carried in a palanquin free of cost. So, Jadabharata told him, you are sitting on the palanquin claiming yourself to be the representative of the Lord, but you are not. He said, your mind is contaminated with the desire to act cruelly and torture others. So, he said, you are riding on the palanquin and the way you dealt with me, of course he didn't say dealt with me, the way you dealt with the palanquin carriers shows that your mind is still contaminated, he said. Of course, when Raghuna heard all these things, he fell at his feet again and said, oh, my dear master, my dear lord, sir, your words are the right medicine for me, for the kind of false pride I have accumulated over so many years. But he said, your words are still difficult for me to fully comprehend and appreciate. Can you please explain it? Then Jadabharata, down to earth, he explained to him what it is. He told the king, my dear king, you see, the palanquin carriers who are carrying your palanquin. He said, their ankles, their foot, their knees, their thighs, and their chest, and their hands and legs, and their heads, and the palanquin itself. And over the palanquin, the body of the so-called king, Rahugana. All these things are transformations of earth only. And inside that body of so-called king Rahugana is sitting the soul, which is you, he said. And that soul is thinking, I am the master, he said. But he said, all these things are transformations of earth, which is all conducted by the three modes of material nature. He said, if you had understood this fact, you would not have behaved the way you behaved. He told him. And he said, only one who understands oneself to be the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vasudeva, he said, who is existing beyond all these transformations, and who is the source of Brahman and Paramatma also, who is sublime, who is supremely pure, who is always benevolent to his devotees. Unless you understand that, Lord Vasudeva, your dust in your mind cannot be cleansed, he said. And that Lord Vasudeva cannot be attained without smearing one's body with the dust particles of the lotus feet of a pure devotee of Lord Vasudeva, he said. So, first of all, you have to become a devotee, become purified in your mind, and become free from this mental contamination. And then you are ruling over the people, and ruling over the palanquin carriers is meaningful. So now Raghuna understood it. So we see in this example how King Rahugana made argument at one platform, and Jadabharata argued on a higher platform from the pure devotee point of view, the devotional point of view. What he means is the same thing what we discuss in the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Unless one understands oneself to be the servant of Guru, Krishna and the previous acharyas, one cannot play the role of a master, he says. Of course, the best servant is the best master, as we say. It is said. So that's what Rahugana taught him. So why did Rahugana behave the way he behaved? That contamination came in his mind because of the upadhi. The upadhi he was holding as the king. That is why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu refused to associate with Pratap Rudra king in the early stage, because the upadhi is sarva upadhi vinirmuktam tat paratpena nirmalam. While having upadhi, one should become free from upadhi. One should become free from all the upadhis except the only upadhi which is being jiva sarupa hoy krishna anitadas, the only entity. That's what Prabhupada is saying here towards the end. Making a show of religion without Krishna consciousness may make one popular in the estimation of unintelligent men. But factually, such a materialistic display of spiritual advancement does not help one at all. It will not prevent one from missing the goal of life. So, Rahugana was fortunately saved by the divine advice given by Jadabharata. Otherwise, in India today, there are so many people who are either very rich or who are very learned in their own way without taking shelter of a proper Vaishnava spiritual master. And they all are thinking that we know the truth and they're very proud of the truth. But what kind of material dust is in their minds in the form of karma mishra, jnana mishra, yoga mishra? How the bhakti abhas is appearing like bhakti, which is actually not bhakti, cannot be known by one's own endeavor without attaining the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. And by such attaining the shelter, then one can attain the ultimate goal of life, which is eternal service to Krishna. And such a devotee becomes free from all material desires, including desire for liberation. Such a devotee can feel dependence on Krishna. Such a devotee can understand that there is absolutely no other aspiration that is as satisfying as being a servant of Krishna. So, yesterday also was very wonderful, was Rohini Priyaprabhu spoke very wonderfully. Rohini Priyaprabhu was telling Vaikuntha, they call all the Shmashan as Vaikuntha Dham. But people go to the Vaikuntha, so-called Vaikuntha Dham, the Shmashan Ghat, and get their bodies burnt, but their entire lives are led materialistically, in a materialistic fashion. So if one wants to attain the real Vaikuntha Dham, one has to, as Prabhupada says in the beginning of the purport, change one's course from a materialistic life to life of spiritual goals, like what Prahlad Maharaj is teaching. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much.